water is a good place, so you say, to start our topic.
Water is a good place to start. We got approval from the council at the last meeting to put out an RFP for design, and so we will need to amend our state water plan to allow some changes. But what we are looking at now with our water task force is more storage. And so that's what we're going to look at designing, the location and how large a tank we need to have. But we have learned from our persistent water breaks that we just have to take better care of ourselves and make sure that we are prepared for everything. Immediately following some kind of decision on water storage, we will continue to look at options for water treatment. And some of our staff have already done some excellent research. We have some advantages in Fort Pierre, first of all, being a smaller community, that we don't have to look at a system as large and expensive as what Pierre put in. And so we have some other options. One of the systems, and I'd need somebody that knows the technical details better than I do, you can add cells to it. So you can start out at a certain size that will treat a certain quantity. And then as we grow, you can add cells to it and add capacity. So that makes a lot of sense.
Certainly does. I guess there's only so much you can do when these line breaks happen. You're kind of at the mercy of when they can get fixed, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's right. And so the one thing that we have done all summer is ask our residents to conserve. Mm-hmm. To water no more than every other day, and they've been good about doing that. And so we don't have tanks that are dangerously low. We have our storage tanks, and we keep them as full as we possibly can, because we know it's not if we're going to have another water break, it's when. And so the line is in bad shape. The Bureau of Reclamation is aware of that. And in fact, they have approved replacement of what I understand 50 miles of line, but it hasn't been budgeted, hasn't been funded. So obviously 50 miles of water line is a huge infrastructure investment, but it needs to be done. Yeah. There are people who are more remote, ranchers that need it for their livestock, a lot more remote than we are in Fort Pierre, and without the storage capacity. And so there are communities and ranchers and farmers who are in much worse shape than we are when there's a water break.
So you've got to make sure to can't forget about those folks, because obviously they have to make the effort to make sure it's all right. And then when things go wrong, I mean, the city itself isn't stuck, but those people really get stuck when
they really do. They're in a bad way. So definitely something needs to be done, but we can't do anything except for Fort Pierre, and so we are going to make sure we protect our residents.
All right, I'll get the other. That wasn't a particularly. It's not always an unhappy topic, but this one's an unhappy topic. Is that the Indian relays are canceled? I understand.
Oh, I'm so sad about that. You know, this darn COVID. What we understand is that they have been allowed to participate on reservations, but nowhere else. And next year.
Yeah. Hopefully.
Next year. Yeah.
Now, the horse races, and we do want to emphasize, and I know Dave has talked with those people recently, horse races are going to happen.
Oh, they definitely are going. Yes, I happened to run into Shane Cramey last night, and he has everything in place, ready to go. He was out collecting gift cards from merchants, and so after a horse race, if your horse didn't win, you put your name on the back of the ticket and turn it in for a drawing. And he has, he said, $3,000 worth of gift cards. gathered up to give away to, well, you wouldn't be a loser then, no. Would you? No, you're no longer a loser. So he works hard on that. Shane works really hard on that, and his group of the Vryn Drive Benevolent Association. And they all, and then Scott Deal will get the track ready to run, and it's a good partnership.
First weekend of October is when that
first
happens.
Weekend in October, exactly.
All right, what's happening with medical marijuana these days?
Medical marijuana. Well, the other thing that happened at the last council meeting was that the council passed two ordinances, one for licensing and one for control. And so what Fort Pierre decided, and we know that this will not be the last change. We know that after the Department of Health adopts their rules, there may be some needed changes. We know that there will be legislation introduced during the legislature that may require more changes. But for now, what Fort Pierre did was approve licensing up to three dispensaries, and then if you get a license for a dispensary, you can also get a license to cultivate, you can also get a license to manufacture products, and so it all depends on that one license that you get as a dispensary, and there will be background checks and there will be criteria. The thing that we talked about quite a bit was how do you choose?
Yeah.
If you get five applicants for three licenses, how do you choose? So I think that we will probably just use the state's criteria and go with that. But we will have to have a really good plan in place for if that happens.
And that's just it. We're very far from the end of this story because this is just... This is new stuff, and yeah. Some people are still going to be, even though it's medical marijuana, there's some people that are going to be leery of it. That's just natural. So
it is. Yeah. It is. And over the weekend, we were talking with friends who live in Vermilion who had called a doctor in California and got a card and then went to the reservation and got their medical marijuana. So... And those are the kinds of things that people fear, that there will be unethical doctors who will issue cards sight unseen. That's the scary part. It is.
Yeah, there's a lot of questions to still be answered.
Yeah,
But that is what's going on in